Yeah, nah. Well, first of all, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Now, watching The Pivot with Gayle King. And I think Gayle King need a man.
Yeah, I think she need a man. She be in
everybody's
business, huh?
Nah, she don't be in everybody's business, but I think she got a type. She real friendly with Fred Jackson, Channing Crowder, and RC.
Okay.
Not friendly as in, you know, how sometimes we were like, man, shorty real friendly. Like,
yeah.
Nah, but you could tell, like, she's very interested in a friend, right?
Okay. Well, let's get Gayle King a man.
Yeah. I seen Gayle King one time.
Gayle King got to be like, what, 50? No? Older than 50? She got to be in her 50s.
My Gayle King, 69.
69 years old? Gayle King look good.
Yeah.
You look good.
Yeah, Gayle King definitely look good for her age.
You look good.
I did not technically meet Gayle King, but it was the day that the African American Museum opened.
Okay.
In D.C. Obama, John Lewis, Oprah Winfrey, Gayle King. I met Dave Chappelle there. I got a picture with him. It was like a who's who in black folks.
Yeah.
And I was leaving. It's like, yo, I'll you could go in, but it was a whole bunch of people that was going in. And I didn't want to go into the museum without family. Mm-hmm. I thought it'd be messed up if I went there and, you know, didn't have, you know, the wife and the kids at least with me. So I was walking out of the place where I was at, and a golf cart drives up. Skirt.
Yeah.
Oprah, Gayle, Statman, what's from Big John Thompson. They all, like a couple other people, they all get out like golf buggies each. So I'm like, yeah, it's too many people that's about to walk up. I'll just hold the door.
Yeah.
I held that door. I did not know that Gayle King was slugging the way she was slugging.
Okay.
I was like, I did not know. But I was trying to be respectful too.
Yeah.
Because it's Gayle King, it's Oprah Winfrey, you know, Statman with them, you know. So I'm trying to be respectful of African American legends.
Yeah.
That I'm holding the door for.
Yeah.
And I end up holding the door for quite some time. Cause it was just like everybody was just walking through the door. Thank you. Thank you. I was just like, man, I mean, I ain't working here. I don't work here. I'm holding the door. I'm being nice. Somebody can't tip a brother. Y'all got it. You know what I'm saying? But no, Gayle King. Yeah.
Okay. Gayle King holding.
Holding.
All right. That's what's up.
Holding Jack.
And she looked great. Good.
I
was giving Gayle King like mid 50s to 60s. I didn't know she was 69. I didn't know she was pushing 70.
Yeah, Gayle King was born in 1954, man.
Shout out to Gayle King.
Gayle King is 2 years older than my father. Mm-hmm. You'll go?
I'll go. Put Gayle King on the list of women over 60. We did a list of women over 60.
I did. I forgot we did that list.
I don't think we put Gayle King on there.
No, we putting Gayle King on there now.
So she's on there now.
She's on there now. But yeah, watch that interview with The Pivot. Shouts out to The Pivot. It's a real dope interview. Like, you're used to seeing people get interview people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but seeing her get interviewed and, you know, being seen in a way that she's normally, you know, that she's normally seen in. And I think it's dope, man. And shouts out to The Pivot, man. Ryan Clark, Fred Taylor, Channing Crowder, they killing it, like, mm-hmm. with these style of interviews. And it was good seeing and it is still good because I'm still watching it. Well, it's on pause right now, of course, but it's good seeing, you know, people a bit more vulnerable.
Yeah.
So to speak. So, nah, I dig that, man. Some dude. Hold on.
191.
Some dude, 191. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, Instagram, everything. At Some Dude Pod, join the group, get the merch. You see, Mike B got the Everybody Can't Be In Your Top 10 shirt. Everybody, so go ahead and grab that, you know, and, you know, stay tuned. You know, we are closing in on 200 episodes. You know, because if you say 200 minus 191, you know, you get that drift, y'all. Y'all did math.
For sure.
We go from there. Hey, man. Mike, how Maywood are you?
I'm so Maywood. Check this out. I'm going to tell you what just happened to me just now.
All right.
In Maywood. I'm dropping my daughter off at dance class. If anybody knows, my daughter, she dances for the Maywood Fine Arts Association, a.k.a. Stairway of the Stars. A lot of people could say that they're so Maywood that they've actually danced for Stairway, women mostly. Or you could say, I'm so Maywood that, you know, Mr. Ernie taught me how to flip. If anybody know Mr. Ernie in Maywood, y'all know that. So you could be Maywood as far as that as well. But I'm dropping my daughter off at dance class, and anybody knows that right before St. Charles, or right after St. Charles, or it depends on which way you come. There's a train track.
Yep.
Right there. On, like, when you, so we go down Knife. So when you get to St. Charles, as soon as you pass St. Charles, there's a train track right there. And then anybody knows that right there, there used to be the big old, like, the big sign, the big tower thing that says Maywood is on the move. But anyway, so right there, I'm so Maywood that if I get caught by a train, I go all the way down to 25th to go across the bridge. That's how Maywood I am, because that's what I just had to do, to drop my daughter off at dance class, to get my baby to dance class on time. I'm so Maywood that the train was going in two different directions. It stopped, then it went into another direction. Then I could see my daughter sitting in the front seat. She's frantic at this point because she's going to be late, so I fuck it. I'm so Maywood that if I don't want to wait for the train, you drive all the way down to 25th, and you go across that bridge. If you know, you know.
Yeah. Mike.
Yeah, I see it's going up right now on the social media. Maywood social media, we live. Maywood Facebook is going crazy right now.
Yeah, I saw a couple of interesting I'm so Maywoods to the point where we're going to add Doc Rivers to the list. He's so Maywood that he just took Adrian Griffin's job.
Yeah.
Apparently, reportedly, allegedly, well, it's not a report or alleged. Former Milwaukee Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin, who's only been the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks for like 43 games or something like that. But he was fired today.
The new David Black.
Yeah. But reportedly, allegedly, Doc Rivers is the number one candidate to take over for.
So let me ask y'all a question.
Let me read this. Because
it's too good.
This is wild. If this is true, this is according to The Athletic. It's a league source that says Doc Rivers. Let me say it again. League sources say Doc Rivers, who signed on as an ESPN analyst after getting fired by the Philadelphia 76ers in May, began to serve as an informal consultant to Griffin at the behest of the Bucks. 1 month later, multiple sources briefed on the matter now indicate that Rivers is a serious leader for the now vacant position and the preferred choice by key stakeholders.
Let me ask you a question. Was this reported news that he was going to be a consultant to Adrian Griffin? This was news?
No, it was not reported. He was informal. Okay. So it was basically like,
he's like,
it's like the homie. He wasn't like a paid consultant. He was just like the homie. He was a mentor.
All right, go ahead.
Like,
go ahead.
Yo, go holler at Doc, fam. You know,
all right, go
ahead. I already hollered at Doc. Call him. I know this your first time being the head coach. He gonna holler at you. You like, yo, that's Doc Rivers, fam. You know. Yeah, I go talk to Doc. And you've been talking to Doc for a month. And all of a sudden, and you're fired. Wait a minute, what?
So you think this was an inside job?
We 30 and 13, fam. Like, why am I fired? I know we just won. Like, we just beat the Detroit Pistons. We just beat them. I know it's the Detroit Pistons, but we just beat them. We're second in the East. How am I getting fired, fam?
Y'all done won the last 5 or 6 games.
Yeah.
I mean, y'all did get blown out on national TV to the oh, no. They blowed out the Boston Celtics. Excuse me. I was about to say the Boston Celtics got blowed out on national TV to the Bucks. So, yeah, like, we just blew out them by 40. You know, we won 5 of the last 6. But, oh, they got blew out by Cleveland, though.
Still.
You know?
Like, it's still.
Dang, are you insinuating that this was an inside job? That Doc Rivers backdoored Adrian Griffin? Is that what you're saying? Are you saying Maywood niggas be backdooring motherfuckers, bro?
All I'm saying is Maywood is on the move.
Maywood is on the move, bro.
Maywood is on the move. Doc Rivers saw an entryway of getting back in the culture. And he said to himself, Maywood is on the move.
Doc never wanted to go back to being on TV. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do that. Mm-mm. They need to rehire Mark Jackson, goddammit.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they need to rehire Mark Jackson.
Bring back Mark Jackson.
Wait a minute. If Doc becomes the head coach, I think J.J. Redick moves up to the number one seat.
Ah, okay. Shout out to J.J.
I think J.J. Redick would move up to the number one seat.
That's cool.
No, I am not saying, Mike, that Maywood cats be backdooring folks.
I think that's what you said. That's what you insinuated.
Not saying that.
You're putting that in the atmosphere.
I'm just saying that Maywood is on the move.
Yeah.
Doc looked at that situation, said, it's 90 minutes away from the old crib. I get to coach Giannis, Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton. I got me a little big three going.
Got him an already established team.
Yep. They already in second place. The job was done for me. I didn't need to finish the job.
Now, if they win the title, they going to put an asterisk by this shit on Doc Rivers. They go, oh, my God. We can't have nothing.
Man, look.
Doc Rivers already catch slack for only winning one title.
With the big three.
With the big three. Now he really going to catch
slack. Big three.
Now if they if the Milwaukee Bucks, if he leads them to the championship, he's gonna get an asterisk by this. They're gonna say this was like a Steve Kerr job almost. Steve Kerr come in, swoop in, take Mark Jackson's job of an already established team. It's bullshit, bro. It's a lose-lose for Doc, but fuck it. Doc wants to be a coach, so let him coach.
Oh man, how do you feel, man? You've seen the Milwaukee Bucks up close.
I mean, honestly, you've heard the rumblings, you know, about, you know, possibly like the team not being on the same page with Adrian Griffin, you know what I'm saying? And it sucks because how many years was he like on the staff?
Ooh. I mean, he was on the staff I think he was an assistant coach there before. I know he came from Toronto.
Okay. But it's just
assistant coach, yeah.
It's an unfortunate situation. You never want to see like head coaches lose their job, especially if you're winning. Like, I'm winning and I lose my job. Like, what are we doing? Like, how does the front office actually like go about that situation? Like, at this point, it has to be like players whispering. Everybody want to say like, hey, this could have been Giannis, but word on the street is that Giannis vouched for him, wants him to be the coach. So who makes the decision, and what are you basing this off of?
He wanted him to be the coach in the beginning,
right?
But half a season worth of games later,
yeah,
maybe the decision changed.
But
see, I don't think you fire Adrian Griffin halfway into the season without Giannis giving the okay.
It's just crazy to me. But see, this is the thing though. This is what I'm not a fan of. I don't understand when teams and franchises they make these offseason moves, and obviously, yeah, you want to win. You make moves. You go get Damian Lillard. You trade for Damian Lillard. You get Drew Holiday. You move Drew Holiday, who was a key piece to that franchise.
Yep.
Especially defensively. So you take a hit defensively, but I mean, you take a hit defensively on the perimeter. You still got Giannis, who's a all defensive team player. You got Brooke Lopez, who's a defensive. Both Giannis and Brooke Lopez are both great defenders. So you take the chance of, like, you know, all right, you take a hit on the perimeter defense by moving Drew Holiday. But what I'm saying, what I'm getting to is that you make these moves in the offseason and you go get Damian Lillard. And you start off the season 30-13, which is great. That's your second best record in the NBA, correct?
Yeah, well, in the East, at least.
Yeah, and you got a first-time head coach. And we're just barely getting halfway to the season. Like, I know it's cliche, but I'm a big fan of trusting the process. Like, if you put these pieces into play, let it unfold. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to panic at the first sign of trouble. Y'all can't defend, or you lack defensively, you know, compared to the seasons prior. All right. I think those type of things are fixable, and it goes, you know what I'm saying, along as the season prolongs. Like, those things can be fixed as the season prolongs. It could get better. Your first time head coach, let him fix it. Let him, you know what I'm saying, fix the little issues. Because y'all can obviously score. You're 30-13. All right, y'all got the weakest schedule so far of the season. That's what they say, you know, but still, though, I think if you put these pieces into play, I understand you want to win a championship now. That's why you bring in Dame. You're trying to win now. But I'm a fan of trusting the process and working out the kinks, whatever kinks there may be, you know what I'm saying, when you have a situation that's new to your team. So I'm not a fan of the firing. I'm not a fan of it. It's disappointing to see a coach, especially a black head coach. You know, obviously, you know, we root for everybody that's black around here. But, you know, it sucks, though. So, me personally, I'm just not a fan of it. I feel like if you put these pieces into play, it's something new, something fresh for your franchise, let it play out. You know what I'm saying? Let it work itself out. By the time it's, you know what I'm saying, you getting into playoff mode, everything should be into play at this point. I don't feel like he got a fair enough chance to, you know what I'm saying, fix whatever it is internally going on with his team. You know, that's just my personal opinion. That's how I see it.
I definitely put this in. Well, first with Adrian Griffin, former Chicago Boy Adrian Griffin too. Mm-hmm. I definitely put his hiring in the Stephen A. Smith, black coaches don't get opportunities like this lane. And then he gets fired. 43 games into the season. When you look at the schedule, not necessarily schedule, excuse me. When you look at the last six games, they're 6-4. They're on the two-game winning streak. At home, they're 19-4. You know, when you go deeper into their record, yeah, they are not the best defensive team. But when you trade one of the best defensive guards in the league in Drew Holiday, and you get back Damian Lillard, who calling card is simply not defense.
Y'all knew this already.
What do you expect? Like,
that's what I'm saying. That you knew this.
you knew what it was when you got here. So I am. That's why I said Giannis had to sign off on this.
That's crazy.
Now, I will say this. the relationship, or at least the job, did not start off hot. You know, he took over for Mike Budenholzer, who was fired after they lost in the first round. Right after that, they get Damian Lillard. They hire Terry Stotts also, mm-hmm. who was the former head coach of the Portland Trail Blazers, who, of course, coached Damian Lillard. And he quit before this season even started, apparently, mm-hmm. reportedly, allegedly. It's all talked about a practice where practice ended and Adrian Griffin had to ask all of the coaches to huddle. Terry Stotts was like, "Yo, I'm about to go with the team, you know, stuff with the players." And Adrian Griffin was like, "Nah, slide over." He was like, "Nah, I'm gonna stay over here." Then Adrian Griffin yelled at him, and he was like, "Up, ain't nobody about to yell at me like that." Now,
oh man.
Going back to the defense, now Adrian Griffin's calling card is supposed to be defense, right? They were a top 10 defense. Matter of fact, they were a top 4 defense in defense efficiency last year. This year, they were 22nd. Points per, like, just looking at the analytics, points per direct pick, they were 3rd last year. They're 24th. Points per direct drive, they were 2nd last year. It was 20th this year. So they were a top 5 defense. But now they're one of the worst in the NBA. Do I look at this and say this can't be fixed? I don't know. I don't know. So it's one of those situations where it's one of those situations where I don't get it. I don't get why you fire a coach like this.
And I'm not a fan of, like, if you're going to fire the coach, finish it with an interim coach. I'm not a fan of bringing in a new...
Well, they do have an interim coach right now. You talk about for the rest of the year.
Yeah, though. For the rest of the season. But you're clearly... You're saying, yeah, he's going to be the interim coach, but you're already having Doc Rivers talk, and you're planning on bringing Doc Rivers in as soon as you possibly can. I'm not a fan of that either, mid-season. I mean, because now you're looking for him to put the Band-Aid on, you know what I'm saying? And what if it don't go as planned? Then who we blaming? We blaming Doc? That's fucked up. Like, I don't like that shit. Like, what you kind of did it last season? Quinn Snyder coming in mid-season to try to fix a team, a broken team already. I'm not a fan of, like, big hire names coming in to take over. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand it at all. Like, but, hey, not a fan of the firing, and I'm also not a fan of them trying to just bring in Doc. Like, here we go. Come, Doc, come fix this shit. You know what I'm saying? I like it for Doc. I like it for the fact that, hey, Doc getting another chance to coach. I've never had an issue with Doc Rivers as a head coach. I think he's a fine head coach. He's proven that. You know, obviously, people want to bring up he only has one ring. All right, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's proven that Doc Rivers wins games, you know? So I get it. But he come in, and what if he not able to fix this shit right now? The Milwaukee Bucks are trying to win a championship this year. It's a championship or a failure at this point. It started that way as soon as they signed Damian Lillard. Championship or nothing. So I get it. They panicking. They frantic. But all the blame is going to be placed on, the coaches ain't getting it done, without actually putting the accountability on these players. Because if you go look, you bring in Damian Lillard's having an okay season. I ain't saying he having a stellar season. I want his best seasons. But if you look at the box scores, you know what I'm saying? Dame is on one night, Dame is off for another night. You know what I'm saying? They play better when Damian Lillard is efficient. But when he's not efficient, they're terrible. So you need to get some consistency on the offensive end, especially where they lack defense. Dame ain't scoring. Dame is useless if he ain't putting the ball in the basket. pretty much at this point. So y'all really need to look more so at that in general, right? Because Giannis has proven that if he ain't scoring, he can do other things. He can pass. He can rebound. Damian Lillard hasn't proven that he can do anything effective on the basketball court if he ain't scoring. You know what I'm saying? So Dame, I feel like this is Damian Lillard's fault. This is Dame's fault. It's his fault. It's his fault, bro. Because you swap out for Drew Holiday and you ain't playing no defense, but games when you ain't scoring, y'all getting whooped. And y'all record when you don't score 20 or more in a game is bad. So you got to look at the inconsistency there when it comes to Dame.
So basically you saying it was a bad decision.
I said it was a bad decision if you talk about the trade for Damian Lillard.
No. Yeah. Yeah, the trade for Damian Lillard.
It's possible. If depending on how this season plays out, if you continue to see the inconsistency in Damian Lillard and it shows that on the games where he's very inconsistent, those are the games that they're mainly losing, then you go to look at it and say, yeah, this is what we traded our best defender for. We traded our best defender for a defensive liability and a guy who is streaky, who's playing streaky right now. Damian Lillard's not a streaky player, but he's having a streaky season. That's just my observation of this. You know, I've been watching the Milwaukee Bucks. I've been to a game, but I mean, I've been watching this team, and it's clear that the inconsistency is there when it comes to Damian Lillard offensively. So that's just me.
So, okay. So if you are running the Milwaukee Bucks, what do you do in this situation?
You talking about me right now? What would I do? Like I said earlier, I'm a fan of trusting the process. So, hey, if I see that, hey, defensively we're lacking, hey, you know what I'm saying? What is it that we can do better to on offense for Dame to be more efficient, or we can see more of the Damian Lillard Giannis collab on the court? Because, you know, we're not really seeing much of it. You kind of see, like, hey, Dame come up the court, blah, blah, blah. He making plays. Giannis might run point sometimes. It's kind of like all over the place offensively. You kind of don't really see, like, a cohesiveness on offense yet. So, like I said, I'm a fan of trusting the process. Sit down with Adrian Griffin. Hey, if I'm a GM or whatever, what is it that we need to do, you know what I'm saying, to get this thing rolling consistently, offensively? What can we do to fix some shit defensively? That's just me. Like I said, I'm not a fan of, hey, this shit ain't going the way it's going, the way we wanted to after 40 games. Let's fire him. I ain't a fan of that. I'm not a fan of that at all. Trust the process. It's cliche, but hey, I'm a fan of trusting the process. It didn't work out for Philly, you know what I'm saying, with their whole quoting the trust the process thing. But, you know, that was a Ben Simmons situation. So, you know what I'm saying, that's a whole nother topic of conversation. But I am a fan of letting things play out if you make moves for your franchise. And this is like a first-time thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, let it play out. Let the chemistry build. It's only been 40 games that Damian Lillard and Giannis have been playing with each other. Let this shit simmer. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, so moving on. We was recording yesterday, and then I ended up putting up this couch that I got behind me. And I look at my phone, and Joel Embiid had 70 points and 15 rebounds in 37 minutes.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the number that surprised me, Mike.
Yeah.
Apparently, Joel Embiid can't miss more than 7 games now.
Oh, Yeah. With the MVP being eligible for MVP.
This whole 65 games playing thing.
Yeah, because he's already missed like a 11, 12 games already this season.
Yeah, like, so if he misses 7 more games, he can't win MVP.
Yeah.
Because this is the first year that this is the case.
Yeah.
Is this a bad look?
It might be, babe. I don't know. I mean, because if you really look at it, 65 games out of 82 games, that's still a nice chunk of the season. That's literally like 70%, 75%, close to 80% of the season. So not being eligible for MVP when you play majority of the season still, after 65 games, is still, I feel like, a majority amount of the season being played. So it possibly can be, because if you really look at Joel Embiid's numbers this year, like he's having, Joel Embiid is literally like each year getting better. It's literally his best season.
This is literally one of the best seasons.
Scoring wise.
No, his whole season.
Where everything, yeah, Embiid, he's doing everything. He's doing everything, absolutely.
Joel Embiid is having a historic season.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joel Embiid is scoring 36 points per game. He's shooting nearly 54% from the field. Mm-hmm. He's shooting 36% from the three-point line. And he's averaging 11.6 rebounds. Mm-hmm. This is a historic season, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. And if he trips and falls and goes out and is out for one more week, he's out of the MVP, which he should walk away with the trophy shit now. Now, I think the number is 65 games, right, Mike?
It's 65 games, yeah.
What good does this do to the league that the best player in the league probably won't win MVP because he played 64 games?
So I think, I believe this is one of the reasons why this was put into play, because they wanted to stop the load management. They wanted to stop players load managing. They want players to come out and play, because obviously we're watching and we want to see the best players play. People are paying tickets to the games and they want to see the best players play. So I think that's one of the reasons why this was put into play. Obviously there's probably other reasons, but this is the main reason. If the Philadelphia 76ers are coming to Chicago, and I know for a fact that Joel Embiid just played two nights ago, and now you're going to sit here and tell me that Joel Embiid got foot soreness. You know what I'm saying? That's bullshit. Now, Joel Embiid had a legit injury. He sprained his ankle.
Right.
He sprained his ankle. So, and we know how sprained ankles are. You know, they heal differently than other people, but a legit, like, grade one ankle sprain, I have you out for like 2 to 3 weeks. And that's what he had. And I believe he came back, he played, and he missed like a good maybe 8 to 10 games or however many amount of games. He came back, played one game, and then he missed like another week or so. So that's already knocking him out of contention. But I think it just was like put into play for like other players too, though. Like other players who we know, like the injuries ain't like legit, or they just like, hey, I'm taking day off because I'm resting, or yeah, we on a back to back. So let's just put an injury out there on the injury report. Cause I think that's what players do. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, yeah, they see we on a back to back. Say I just tell them I got a sore wrist. You know what I'm saying? Some bullshit. Just throw a fake injury out there. I think that's what these guys do sometimes. And I feel like that's a reason why this was implicated, because we want to see the best players out there playing for majority of the season.
Yeah.
That's the reason. That's it.
But, and yeah, that's what we want. But like I said, legit injuries. See, the legit real is key here. Mm-hmm. You know, you look back at the season and let's say, for instance, Joel Embiid played 64 games instead of 65 games and he's not eligible to win MVP. You look at the reason why he sat down most of the time this season, and it's because of injury. So we're going to allow that to keep him away from winning the MVP. And then whoever wins MVP, that's an asterisk behind that. Like, who is Joker,
I mean,
right now the runner-up to Joel Embiid?
So look, check this out. Like, if you really look at the MVP candidates right now, got Embiid. We got Embiid.
So it's Embiid and Joker.
So Jokic, and when we got Shai Gilgeous. So if we really looking like right now, if we have to put Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in MVP talks at this point. They're second in the West. They're right behind Minnesota. So Shai Gilgeous will have a better shot at winning this award than Jokic does. And Jokic is having another historic season. Jokic is playing great. And Luka, you got to talk about Luka. And Luka's missed some, with some injuries as well. Dallas is in like the midst, is in the middle of the West. I say, like, if Dallas have to go on like a great run and they like be right at the top of the West for Luka to really get that. So if you really look at it, bro, if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was to win MVP because Joel Embiid missed the cutoff by one game, I'm not going to put an asterisk by that because Shai Gilgeous is having a season. Look at his season. But look at what he's doing. Best? Look at what he's doing. We're not looking just at it statistically. We're looking at it as impact. This man has the youngest team in the NBA at the top of the West, averaging 30 a game.
I'm with you.
How do you asterisk that?
I'm with you, Mike. But is it the best season? That's what I'm saying. We're going to mess around and have asterisk MVPs because the person who's having the best season may mess around and miss the threshold. So then it's like, do we give it to Joker because he's also having a historic season? Not necessarily like Joel Embiid, but, you know, he's having one. Or do we give it to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because, you know, we didn't expect the Oklahoma City Thunder. We didn't expect the Oklahoma City Thunder to be who they are right now. Like, that's what I'm saying. But then also another thing to think, to throw out there, it's like boxing, right? You got to pay to hold that belt.
Yeah.
Even though you won it, you got to pay a sanctioning fee to hold that belt. So some people don't be willing to pay that sanctioning fee, so they drop the belt. So it's like, yo, I'm the champ. I just don't hold the belt. Could we see MVP caliber people basically sacrifice winning an MVP to load manage to win an NBA championship?
I think this is the year we're going to find out. So look, so Jokic has how many, I mean, not Jokic, Joel Embiid has how many more games?
I think they said seven.
So if he misses seven more games, he's officially ineligible for MVP.
That's what I read somewhere. I can't remember where it was.
So based off how many games he's missed, if it's that 7, 8, or 10 games, I think this is where we monitor it at this point because it's being brought up. So we're going to monitor and see what Joel Embiid does for the rest of the season. Because in my opinion, I feel like if he ain't out there, if he don't get legit hurt out there, like on the court, I don't see him missing too many more games.
Okay.
Because he's adamant about the MVP. He's been adamant about it for the past three seasons. He felt like he should have won the award 2 years ago.
So he got it, though. So since he got it, though, he might not necessarily give a shit.
It might be possible, but me personally, I think he cares. He cares. Anybody that brings this up publicly to justify the fact why they should have won the MVP to knock down another person for them winning it, he cares. I don't care how many times he's won the award. So,
I got a more direct question. Let's say this is Joel Embiid. Right? Since you have an MVP and you're having a historic season, no matter what, we're going to look back at this season. You play 64 games. You keep up with these numbers. It's still a historic season.
Absolutely.
So if you have a season like Joel Embiid is having, but you don't miss the threshold, do you really truly give a fuck about that damn MVP award? Can you go around and say, yo, I'm really the real MVP? Like, can you do that and it be met? Like, yo, I've 37 and 11. 36% from the three. 55% field goal percentage. Nobody has seen the center do this in Shaq. Like, I'm out here killing it. Yeah, I didn't win the MVP award because I played 64 games, but I'm the real MVP anyway. It's like wrestling. Ric Flair.
I would love that.
Go ahead. It's like wrestling. Remember 1991, 1992, depending on, you know, how much you remember, Ric Flair came into the WWF at the time with the big gold belt, and he kept calling himself the real world heavyweight champion. Mm-hmm. Hulk Hogan, I'm the world champ. Fuck is you talking about here? They blocked the big gold belt after litigation and all of that. But Ric Flair was still going around saying he was the real world heavyweight champion. In this case, if this happens, the real world's heavyweight champion, the real MVP, will be Joel Embiid. The person who's the champ, Joker or Shy, is Hulk Hogan in this case. I'm the world champ. I'm the MVP. That's all I'm saying. There's a possibility that Joel Embiid can miss the allotted amount of games needed, the signed amount of games needed to win MVP. But his season is so historic where he's like, yo, I didn't win it, but we all know who the MVP is.
The only way that he gets to pull that off is if they win the whole fucking thing, bro. He got to go into the playoffs because, look, obviously it still hasn't been proven. He hasn't proven himself. He hasn't been to an Eastern Conference championship, yet. So we need to see Embiid show up in the postseason. That's how you could justify that. If you want to go off and say, hey, I'm the real MVP, even though I came, I had a historic season, and I fell a game short of being qualified for it, go into the postseason and lead your team to the finals. Then you could talk that shit. Because obviously, we could say, hey, you won the MVP award last year, and what did you do last year in the postseason? You and James Harden laid an egg. You know what I'm saying? So I need to – hey, bro, that's all I'm saying. I'm with you, and I agree with you. He can do that, but he can only do that is if he gives his team – helps his team run it in the playoffs. All right?
So basically what you're saying is – let's say, for instance, he missed the threshold by one game.
He missed the threshold by one game.
Is it more pressure on Joel Embiid to win a championship if that happens?
Is it more pressure?
Yeah.
I think it's pressure on him regardless. But, yes, it's more pressure. It's more added pressure because, obviously, he's going to have that chip on his shoulder. And the postseason is going to start off with everybody saying, and it depends on where they are finishing in the East. They top two in the East. You know what I'm saying? They got an easy.
They top two. They not top two now.
Right. See what I'm saying? Like, you ain't got your team all the way where they need to be yet, but you still, like, you know what I'm saying? But that's because you've missed games. You've missed games. You got to be available for your team. Be available for your team if you want to be the MVP, nigga. You know what I'm saying? You want to be the real MVP. Even playing 64 games and not winning the award. And your team, possibly, you have the best historic season ever, but your team is in fourth, fifth. Because you got Boston, you got Milwaukee, we got, who else? Who else is in the East? I keep forgetting all of the teams. Like, who are these other teams that's in the East that's up of you right now?
Okay, let's...
It's Boston and Milwaukee right now. And then you got Cleveland, they balling. You know what I'm saying? And the New York Knicks is in.
Wait a minute, Mike. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to help you out just so you know. This is how the playoffs will shake up right now.
They'll be in third.
So the playoff, the play-in teams right now would be the Orlando Magic. No, excuse me. The Indiana Pacers.
I'm looking at it now. Go ahead, though.
Orlando Magic, Chicago Bulls, and the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
And then number one through number six would be starting with the Heat at number six. They just got Scary Terry Rozier from the Charlotte Hornets.
Nice pickup.
They traded Kyle Lowry in the first round pick for Scary Terry. The Knicks at the fifth seed, the Cavaliers at the fourth seed, and then your top three seeds are the Celtics, Bucks, and 76ers. And the 76ers are a half game back behind the Bucks and four games back from the Celtics for the number one spot. And they're riding right now a six-game winning streak. They have won seven out of their last 10 games. So you have that right there, Mike.
Uh-huh. Okay. Right now, the Eastern Conference is pretty tight. It's tight. Tight between. Well, Boston look like they're gonna run away with the number one seed unless they have an atrocious fall off. Look like Boston will be number one. But you know, friend, it's pretty much a 1-2, possible 4 team race between the Knicks, Cleveland, Philly, and Milwaukee for the 2 seed. So in that area right there, it's mesh. It's you know.
Yeah.
So we'll see. So like I said, if Embiid falls short, which I don't think. I think Embiid will qualify himself because I think he wants to win the MVP. As long as he doesn't get a significant injury, I don't see Embiid missing more than 7 games for the remainder of the season. So that's just that's my guess. But if he does happen to, and he misses the cutoff, but he still has an amazing season, if you want to prove that you the people's champ, the real MVP, prove it in the postseason, dog. Show us that you can lead your team in the postseason and you don't lay an egg. That's how it's got to be. Until then, I got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander winning the MVP award. He going to win. I think even with the season Embiid is having, I feel like if the Oklahoma City Thunder finish the season as the one seed in the West, he's going to win the MVP. That's just my hot take, my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Going forward for the second half of the season. But, yeah. But shout out to, you know, and the MVP race is a three-way race. It's Embiid, Jokic, and Shai. Nobody else is really there. You can't even really say Luka because they're not even in the play-in right now. Dallas not even in the play-in right now. So we can't even say Luka.
All right, man, let's go ahead and move on to, you know, I think we've given enough time. So, you know, Mike, you've had time to heal.
Yeah.
Let's talk about them Cowboys, man.
Real quick, man. Yeah, how you feeling? I healed, man. I you know what, babe? I healed when the game was over. I had my feelings about everything, all the bottled up feelings, the anger, disappointment, while the game was going on. Because after the first quarter, I knew it was over. I knew it was over. So, the Dallas Cowboys, man, they fell short again. First round loss to the Green Bay Packers. Shout out to Jordan Love.
Very disappointed.
First round loss to the Green Bay Packers. I can't say that I'm not surprised. This is my actual take on it. I can't say that I'm not surprised. I wasn't surprised at all. The Dallas Cowboys went into that game and they looked very unprepared. They didn't look like they were prepared. Think they took the Packers lightly. They, you know, the defense got exposed. They made mistakes on offense as well. Dak turned over the football, things that you can't do. Just overall, bro, as a team, they just didn't look good. And I feel like it's blame to be placed everywhere. You could blame. I feel like Mike McCarthy was outcoached. I think the defense just got exposed. The defense didn't get any type of pressure on Jordan Love. Jordan Love looked absolutely comfortable back there. He looked absolutely comfortable. He was poised. He looked good back there. And for whatever reason, Romeo Doubs, he was always open, deep. So I don't know what it is that's missing on the defensive end. I guess that's where Trayvon Diggs plays a part because obviously we're missing our all-pro safety, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what plays in there. The factors, they couldn't stop the run. Aaron Jones looked dominant. Like, you know, he 3 touchdowns. Like, the defense got shattered. The offense didn't really pick it up until the second half when it was already over. Everything that the Cowboys did on offense, you could just pretty much consider it garbage time because, you know, they just playing from behind. They didn't look good at all. And just now going, and me personally, I felt like Mike McCarthy should have been fired. But them keeping him and letting him play out the end of his contract, I get it. I understand it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I do understand. Now going into this season, Mike McCarthy is pretty much coaching for his job. He's coaching for an extension because obviously if you don't perform up to the expectations that we're looking for, which is pretty much Super Bowl, I feel like he's going to just coach out an expiring contract and he won't be returning as the Cowboys head coach. So I get it. But yeah, bro, at the end of the day, though, as far as me concerned, I don't have any like bad feelings about it. I'm cool. I've healed on it. It's all good. I spoke my piece. Obviously we need to make some decisions when it comes to like, you know, free agents. I mean, Tony Pollard's a free agent. Dak Prescott's going to look for an extension. Let's just answer these questions right here. I'll answer it. Does Dak deserve an extension? Yes, absolutely. You can't not pay Dak Prescott after the season he had. What is that? Huh?
Wait.
Go ahead.
Mike?
Well, I'll give you my opinion later. But what the hell going on with your team and Dak Prescott, though?
Yeah, I don't know, bro. Like, this. If it's coming from his brother, fam, that shit is clown shit. Like I told, when you sent that shit to me, that's just a clown being a clown, bro. That man has no influence on what Dak Prescott is going to do. As far as I'm concerned, Dak Prescott wants to be a Cowboy. He has no reason not to want to be a Cowboy. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've done everything for you.
Let me give the team, the fellas, the ladies who listen to Some Dude Pod, some clarity.
Yeah.
Tad Prescott, the brother of Rain of Dakota Prescott, the older brother, said on Twitter on the 20th, January, Cowboys fans, why continue to DM me? Trust me, if I could get Dak to leave Dallas, he added him too, I would. I too want him out of Dallas. The city and the organization has been great to he and our family. But done with the drama and the so-called fans. But he loves this team and he wants to bring it rings.
What is he saying?
Context. Let me finish. Those who really follow or know me knows I've never spoken badly about the Dallas Cowboys as an organization or a team. I've never spoken badly about a player on the team or the city of Dallas. It's the so-called fans I have an issue with. Now, that ain't it. That ain't it. Terrence Parsons, the brother of Micah Parsons, said, I can't wait because y'all really clueless out here. The greatest crimes to this man is being done by his own organization. Y'all gonna miss him when he's gone. Now, Micah Parsons decided to respond. Any comments made by Terrence Parsons Jr. are his and his alone. As you know, if I have something to say, I'm not afraid to say it. I love my team, my brothers on the team, and the city of Dallas. I'm more committed than ever to bring a championship to the greatest fan base on earth. CeeDee Lamb's mom simply just said, Dak ain't it.
She said that?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Now, I'll give you my opinion, Mike. It's time for y'all to go ahead and break this down.
You think so?
I don't think there's a such thing as a rebuild, as a retool. But you can't retool when you have a quarterback that's giving you a $60 million cap hit. And I said this to you on this show before. No, our last episode, I'm going to say it here. Dak Prescott need to change the scenery. No disrespect to Dak Prescott, but I just have a feeling that the lights of the Dallas Cowboys organization and the pressure that it is being the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, he ain't built for that. It's not a bad thing. I'm not being disrespectful, I think, in saying that. Because I also believe that coaching is here at play. I think Mike McCarthy has been a good coach for him. but I also believe that his coach is not built for the limelight of the Dallas Cowboys as well. Those are hard to come by. Like, coaches that coach under Jerry Jones and can be successful are hard to come by. That's why y'all ain't won no title since 1997. I think it was 1997.
95.
Excuse me, 1995. That's the last time they won a playoff game. It was 1997. Excuse me.
No. We won playoff games. That's how we conference championship.
Conference championship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some shit that matter. The problem I think that y'all have is your quarterback and the person that's coaching the quarterback is not built to be a Cowboy. I truly believe that Dak Prescott could go somewhere else and be hella successful. But the pressure that comes with being on a team, not the Cowboys, is way less than being a Cowboys member. And I think when it comes to games like this, when it comes to pressure games, that shit gets to them. When they played that game against the Packers, at the beginning of the game, I was like, nah, I don't feel right. This don't look right. That pressure, man, pressure busts pipes. And I believe that if Dak Prescott was with, let's say, the New Orleans Saints, he would be a more successful quarterback. Matter of fact, I even go as far as saying this. If Dak Prescott is on the New Orleans Saints, they're in the playoffs. And they might be playing this weekend in the NFC Championship game. Because I do believe that Dak Prescott is a good NFL quarterback. Borderline great. Not elite, but borderline great. But I also believe that when the lights hit, the big time game hits, all of the cameras are all on him, he shrinks. But I think part of the reason why that is because of that star. That star holds a place in sports history, in lore. Roger Staubach, Troy Aikman, you know what I'm saying? Like, to have that star on your head and lead this team to a Super Bowl is nothing. I'm a Bears fan. So I know what it means for us to win a Super Bowl and what it means to the city. Dallas win a Super Bowl, it means something to the country. That's the difference here. You got to have a certain set of balls to be a Dallas Cowboy quarterback and to win. I don't think that Dak Prescott got that. But if you put him on another team, I think he's successful. And that's one of the reasons why I feel like y'all need to blow it up to build it back up. Don't give him all of that money. Ship him somewhere else that they're going to be able to pay him all of that money. You either move up in the draft or find somebody in free agency. And then,
And then we move along with Trey Lance.
Well, I don't think Trey Lance is the answer, but I don't know because we ain't really see shit from dude, really. So I don't know. I'm not saying it. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
Nigga played 5 games since like high school. So don't quote me on that. But I truly believe that y'all got to find a different quarterback to lead this team.
Now, let me ask you this. Is that because is the pressure of being a Dallas Cowboys quarterback, is that because you have Jerry Jones calling the shots as far as like GMing and him not just being an owner? Like I feel like if Jerry Jones was to step away, just be an owner, not be involved in any day-to-day decisions, picking players, drafting, trading, signing, none of that. Just sit back in the owner's box and be an owner. You don't have to go on, you know what I'm saying, 103.5 The Fan every week and, you know, talk about this and that, answer questions. Just be one of those owners that chills, sits back. Feels like Jerry Jones needs – obviously, when you talk about the Cowboys, you can't say talk about the Cowboys without mentioning Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is one of those owners that everybody's going to know, not even just in football. It's just in sports in general. But, you know, I feel like I think that has to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Jerry Jones isn't going to fire himself. He won't do it. But I feel like that's something that needs to be done. I don't necessarily agree with you saying that the lights are too bright for Dak. Honestly, bro, like watching that football game, and like I said, you could blame Dak. Dak turned over the ball twice. But I feel like the coaching, you have to put your quarterback, your team in position and have them ready and have them prepared. They should have been coming. They should have been in that game. Should have came out of that game firing. You know what I'm saying? Like they were losing. You got to come out and be prepared. Like they were too, you know, content and like, yeah, we're running the ball on first down. Hey, we're running it good. Then we turn around, run it again on second down. Then boom, you're putting yourself in tough third down situations and you ain't able to convert. I just feel like Mike McCarthy did a very bad job of preparation and preparing that team and having them ready for that game, bro. Honestly. Like, Dak can go out there and ball, bro. Dak can play. And I don't feel like Dak is the issue. I think Dak can win in Dallas, bro. And that was the clear-cut shot for us to get to the NFC Championship game. It was, like, right there. You automatically get two playoff games as a second seed. You're not even going to have to play the San Francisco 49ers if you win that game. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mike McCarthy failed them, G. It's old Mike McCarthy, bro. I'm not blaming Dak. I don't think it's down Dak.
Yeah, and I'm not blaming Dak. I'm not blaming Dak.
I don't think it needs to be a change of scenery. I think it needs to be a head coach change. Head coaching change.
He already had two head coaching changes. That would be his second head coaching change, though.
This would be
that. See, that's the point that I'm making. Jason Garrett. And then it would be, you know, if you move on from Mike McCarthy, it would be him too. You would be moving on from a Super Bowl winning head coach and a dude that started off as his OC.
Yeah.
So, matter of fact, would this be his second or third? Who was the coach first?
What do you mean? So, we had...
Who was Dak's first head coach?
Dak's first head coach is Jason Garrett.
Okay. So it's Jason Garrett, and then it would be Mike McCarthy. Mm-hmm. Who you going to get? What head coach you going to get? That's my point.
You could fire McCarthy and promote Dan Quinn. I'd have been okay with that. I would have had no
issue. Who's going to be your OC, though?
You go out and get one.
Who's going to be yours?
Go out and get an OC and a DC. Or if Dan Quinn wants to call the defense as a head coach, he could do that as well. That's what I would have possibly have done. I mean, obviously they're not going to do it now. I would have been okay with that scenario.
Mike,
you could, everybody hollering Bill Belichick and all that shit like that, which is all good. That's fine.
That's what I'm saying. That's,
I wasn't Mike, crazy about that though.
Mike, I'm not, look.
I'm okay with firing McCarthy and promoting Dan Quinn, which that could be a possibility.
I mean, I'm okay with that too.
I would have been cool with that. So, but hey,
I think a lot of people expected that. I think the issue here though is what you just said. This would be his third head coach. If you fire him, it'd be his third head coach. And it would be more than three offensive coordinators. I think Dak can be special. I also believe that some people can't be special where they at. They won't realize their potential where they at. And I think it's certain things that stand in the way. And I think for Dak, I think the presence of that star is holding him back. The presence of Jerry Jones hovering over him holds him back.
Then what? Then
I think y'all can find a QB. in free agency or through the draft.
I was about to say
that you can groom
if you find one
in and be better than that.
I mean, if that star is too heavy for Dak, it's gonna be too heavy for pretty much everybody. I feel.
No, I don't think that. I don't think so. I don't think so. And that's because I'm not comparing Dak. To other people. Like, that's the thing. I think Dak is a quality quarterback. I just don't think here. I think that pressure mounts on you. Man, fam, y'all ain't won shit in a while. And the more y'all don't win shit, the more pressure comes on the team, G.
Bang, we are cursed. The curse has not been lifted. The curse has not been lifted, okay? This Dallas Cowboys team has been cursed since 2007, okay? 2007. It's been a shit show since 2007. 13-3 Dallas Cowboys team led by Wade Phillips, Tony Romo, and you lose in the first round against a team you smacked up the whole season, the New York Giants, and that team goes on to win a Super Bowl. Ever since then, they've been cursed, okay? Ever since then. It's been a shit show in Dallas ever since. And honestly, I don't know. I have to see what we do in the offseason before I can make any type of expectations for what's going to happen next year. And even then, when next season comes, we'll see. You know, you got, hey, look, if Tony Pollard is a free agent and you don't re-sign Tony Pollard, go always go out there and get Derrick Henry. He's available. He's 30, but shit. Does Derrick Henry show any signs of slowing down? At 30?
Yeah.
Think so? Or does Derrick Henry need it? Or Derrick Henry needs a new scenery? Possibly.
Possibly.
Possibly need a new scenery.
Because they just fired Mike Vrabel to get Brian fucking Callahan. So
that's
there's
a move.
That.
That's a move you can make. I mean, hey, Mike Evans is available.
Oh, boy. Oh, Lord.
Hey, Mike Evans man, on the other side of CD Lamb? Why not?
Hey, that.
I wouldn't be mad.
So, I wouldn't be mad, too. But that guy has to be nervous as hell when it comes to the playoffs. Wait, I got to win. I got those two.
We'll see, bro. But like you said, like anything that the Cowboys, anything that the Cowboys need to overcome, it has to be overcome in the postseason. Obviously, Mike McCarthy has put together 12-5 seasons?
Yeah.
That's dope. So we see where the problem lies. It's in the postseason. So what do you need to do to get it to get over the hump in the postseason? Like I'm saying, I feel like if you are this elite and play this well in the postseason, I mean, in the regular season, and you go into the playoffs and you lay an egg like that, that's preparation, bro. That has nothing to do with what you're doing out there on the field. Like preparation going into the game, fam. That's where it falls on the staff. Falls on the staff, G. Sorry. That's why I have to lay the blame at mainly is on the staff. You have to put your team, have your team prepared and ready for this. Make sure that they know that, like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like they weren't prepared for that. And it showed. So that's just me. But hey, go Cowboys. It is what it is. Y'all already know, man. I'm here for life. I'm here for life. But no high expectations.
Hey, man, let's go ahead and predict this NFC and AFC championship game in the Super Bowl since we didn't get a chance to predict the playoffs. And I'm glad we didn't because I would have been fucked. Let's go with the first game of the day, the Baltimore Ravens versus the Kansas City Chiefs, Lamar Jackson versus Patrick Mahomes.
I'm going to tell you this. If we would have did predictions from the first, yeah, this shit would have been – I had no idea that it would have played out this way. Yeah, no idea.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad we didn't.
Who you got in this?
Right, but who you got in this AFC championship game?
I feel like the Baltimore Ravens are the better team. They should win. They should win. But I feel like, well, you know what? I'm gonna pick the Baltimore Ravens to win. I think they're the better team. They're also the team that I want to win. I would love to see Lamar Jackson in the Super Bowl. I would love to see Lamar Jackson get a chance to play for his first ring. And I also feel like they have the better team. So they should win. I'm going to pick them to win. But if the Chiefs come in, the Chiefs obviously have the experience. They necessarily don't have the experience of winning these type of games on the road, but you just went in and beat Buffalo. So you overcame that already. But I'm going to pick the Ravens. I'm going to pick the Ravens because I think they're going to win. And I think they're the better team. So Ravens. And I feel like, you know, they're going to put some points on the board. I mean, you're going to have to put some points on the board because the Chiefs are going to put points on the board. So I think we get a nice 30 to 24 Ravens, you know? Good game.
Okay, I got 24-27 Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not picking against Patrick Mahomes.
Obviously my man got the luck of the Irish. He got the lucky rabbit's foot. Because this motherfucker finds a way. And he didn't even find the way. The shit was handed to him. Bro. And again, look, this is what I'm talking about, man. The Buffalo Bills should have won that game. And it wasn't Josh Allen's fault. I want to say this. I'll say that after we done. I'll end it with that. End it with what I want to say about as far as like the blaming of the quarterback. Or whatever like that. But that game should have been won by the Buffalo Bills, G. And you want to know why they didn't win? It was Sean McDermott. Fire his ass, too. He deserved to get his job taken away from him as well. These coaches are not doing the fucking jobs in preparing these teams and putting these teams in a position to win the football game. So I'm going to just say that. But, yeah, for whatever reason, somehow, some way, Patrick Mahomes finds a way. Whether it's from his heroics, like, you know what I'm saying, the great shit he does on the field, or the refs, one or the other, he's gonna find a way. So like I said, the Chiefs winning wouldn't shock me, but I'm gonna pick the Ravens and I'm rooting for Lamar.
Okay,
go ahead.
So you got the Ravens, I got the Chiefs here. NFC championship game, we got the San Francisco 49ers
and them Detroit Lions. Bang, what I tell you, fam. What I tell you, it's a beautiful thing, bro. It's beautiful. Shout out to Detroit, man. Shout out to the city of Detroit. They out here winning football games. Dan Campbell out here, man. How could you not root for these guys, bro? I get it. It's an NFC North thing. I understand. Bears fans, bang, Chicago. I get it, bro. But the Detroit Lions out here winning, bro, that shit is good to see, fam. I'm okay with it, bro. I'm cool with that shit. I'm cool with it, bro. Shout out to Jared Goff. You know what I'm saying? Man's out here showing. He already been in the Super Bowl, bro. He been here before. This ain't new to him. He ain't new to this. He true to this. Man. Dang, don't nobody care about the Detroit Lions winning.
Who
cares?
You got in the game.
Look, bro. Honestly, I think the run stops here, though. I think the 49ers do pull it off. Honestly. But Detroit pulling it off wouldn't shock me, G. Wouldn't shock me. I'm going to take the 49ers to win. I'm going to pick them to win, but I want Detroit to win. I want Detroit to go to the Super Bowl. I want to see that. I want to see it, but I'm going to pick the 49ers to win because I think they're going to win 27-20, 49ers.
Mike.
He's picking the Detroit Lions. I know it. You picking the Detroit Lions, ain't you, Bang?
Mike, what was the first game of the year? Yep.
Of the NFL season?
Yeah.
Let me go back to week one. The first game was the Lions and the Chiefs. Damn! A rematch of week one, and Detroit won that game. Bane picking the Detroit Lions to win the Super Bowl. That shit is hilarious right now.
I'm not picking them to win.
Oh, you're not? Okay, okay, okay. But you are picking a rematch of week one.
But I'm picking the Detroit Lions.
Okay, okay.
To defeat the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay, okay.
And go to the Super Bowl.
Okay. 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 I bang on that Detroit man wagon a little bit, y'all. Just a little bit, though. He hates to do it. I understand. He hates to do it. He hates to do it. But, hey, man, you doing the right thing, Bang. It's cool, bro. It's not a bad prediction, bro. It's not a bad prediction at all. They have a legit football team over there, fam. They legit. It ain't no fluke, bro. They here. And that's trusting the process, ladies and gentlemen. They built that shit from the ground up, man. So, look, I'm picking the Baltimore Ravens to win it all. I think they're going to beat the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl. Lamar, I think he finishes off, like, pretty much the perfect season. You come into this season, and you don't have a contract, and, you know, everybody's criticizing you for, one, not having an agent and, you know, wanting too much money. And you people going out there saying that you're not available to your team when they need you the most. And I feel like, you know, he's writing his story and he's proving everybody wrong. So that's what I'm pulling for. I'm rooting for that. And I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I'm taking the Baltimore Ravens to defeat the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl on February 11th in Vegas. Go finish it off, Lamar. Get that Super Bowl title, and he got it. And that officially shuts everybody up on the Lamar Jackson, and not, you know, like people not saying that he's legit or he's not a real quarterback, and you know he can't stay healthy, and you know what I'm saying, he can't take his team to the Super Bowl. Lamar finishes it off against the 49ers. That's my pick. And Bang, I see that you're not picking the Detroit Lions to win. So you're picking.
Nah, I'm picking the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs going to get their revenge of losing the first game of the year.
So
the Kansas City Chiefs will be back-to-back NFL champions.
Okay.
We're going to finally get back-to-back champions.
I was just about to say, we're getting a rare back-to-back champion right here.
We're getting a rare back-to-back champions, man.
Oh, wow.
And that's when you can officially call the Kansas City Chiefs a dynasty. When you win back-to-back championships, I even got a prediction. If the Kansas City Chiefs win, Andy Reid will retire.
Kelsey too? Think Kelsey go off into the sunset with his brother?
He gonna play one more game, but I would. He ain't got to play no more. If Kelsey wins back-to-back titles, he ain't got to play no more.
That's what I'm saying. So you don't think he'll retire though?
No, I don't think he retired, but I'll retire with my brother.
That's what I would do.
Like, I'll retire with my brother. I love my brother that much. I'll retire with my brother. I just got back-to-back rings. This will be my third ring.
And you dating a billionaire.
Yeah. Kelsey is a champion twice. Like, yeah, nah. Yeah, yes, that's my
go
prediction.
Go off into the sunset Chiefs. And follow your woman on tour, dog.
Dead ass. So just take a year off. Like, hey, if Travis Kelsey wins back-to-back Super Bowls, yes, he should retire and just follow his woman around or at least just sit out a year and be like, yo, I'm just going to be out here, fam. Just following my woman around. Shit. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Just having the time of my life. I might come back the year after that, but I'm chilling right now. You know what I'm saying? Kicking with my family, all of that stuff. So that's my predictions right there, man. Kansas City versus Detroit in the Super Bowl. Don't want to pick that shit. But Kansas City get their revenge for losing the first game of the year. I can't believe I picked that shit.
The Detroit Lions, baby. I said it. I told y'all, man. I told y'all earlier in the season, man. It's cool for the Detroit Lions to be out here winning football games, man. It's all right. It's dope, man. You know what I'm saying? Do it for Barry Sanders. Do it for Megatron. You know what I'm saying? Do it for them, Detroit. That shit is
Mike,
dope.
I don't even want to feel like act talking about that last segment. Just end us off.
That man. Shit is dope, man. Hey, man, before we end it off, man, hey, look, I just wanted to say this too. Like I've been seeing a lot of these takes on the internet you know what I'm saying, on these shows by placing the blame mainly on like quarterbacks and like questioning their greatness because, you know, obviously they can't win in like postseason games and all of the things like that. And, you know, prime example, I've seen a lot of negativity being thrown towards Josh Allen. And if you really watch that,
don't do it.
If you watch that football game, that was not on him. But I'm gonna just sit here and say I'm not gonna speak on that. Just, you know,
nobody blamed him. Nobody said that was his fault. What they said is, and this is their fault. This is theirs. Like, you can't just change the narrative and shit just because we want to fit Josh Allen in it. Josh Allen played a hell of a game, but sometimes hell of a game ain't enough. It's not his fault they lost the game, but when you have the ball in your hand in the last drive and you can't get the touchdown, sometimes it's not just about the game. It's about the moments.
Yeah.
Go look at the catch, all right?
Which catch?
The Joe Montana catch, yeah. The Dwight Clark.
Yeah.
If Dwight Clark misses that pass, we're talking about Joe Montana a lot differently than we are now.
Absolutely. But also, if Stephon Diggs catches that 60-yard bomb, are we talking about Josh Allen differently? Are we not blaming Josh Allen? Or not?
But nobody, blaming him,
but we're also not blaming
him. If that happens, then he did enough to win the game.
See what I'm saying? But like, it has
that's life.
It can't just. I know playing the quarterback position is tough. And
I don't give a damn.
And you're gonna get the heat. You know what I'm saying?
I don't give a damn what position it is. See, this I'm talking about me. I don't give a damn what position it is. It's not just about your total play. Look at that. They've been lost that damn game, but Dak threw over 400 yards. I know what you're saying.
You can't even be like, hey, they lost, but Dak played. But Dak threw for 400.
But what I'm saying is people will look at the stats and they will only look at those flash plays and say, man, this dude played amazing. But they don't want to bring up the plays because every quarterback, every running back, everybody has that play that they wish they could take back. The difference is that Patrick Mahomes made more plays than Josh Allen. Josh Allen was the second best player on the field that day. He wasn't the first. He wasn't the best player on that field. And that be the difference between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. It's the same thing that's the difference between Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan. We would be talking about Charles Barkley a lot differently if Horace Grant didn't block Kevin Johnson's shot.
I agree with you. But let me say this one more thing, because I feel like we need to start looking more at these coordinators, these head coaches, and not putting their best players in position to win the game. Josh Allen threw for 30. He threw 39 passes in that game, and he only threw for 186 yards. I watched that entire game. 75% of the offense, the passing plays, were screen passes and like short dump offs. Now, I don't know if it had anything to do with the play calling or, you know what I'm saying, Stephon Diggs and whoever the other receiver is can't get open. You know what I'm saying? But like I'm saying, if you have a weapon like Josh Allen and you're not able to get the ball down the field at home, that's an issue. And then when you finally do get plays off to your two receivers, both of them drop deep passes. Yeah. Both of them. The other, number 16, I don't even know his name. He dropped a deep pass. Stephon Diggs dropped a 60-yard bomb in his breadbasket. Okay? That's what I'm saying. Like, you go on the next day and all you see is Josh Allen can't get it done. Josh Allen didn't do this. Josh Allen didn't do that. Like, come on, bro. It got the finger pointing directly at the QB because he's the quarterback. That shit has to stop, bro. We need to start looking more into these coordinators.
You can still
players in position to win.
You could still do all. What I don't want to happen You could do all. You could do all of that at the same time. Because Sean,
Sean McDermott running a fucking fake punt. A fake punt deep in his territory, G.
With DeMar Hamlin.
And shout out to DeMar Hamlin, though. I'm happy he was out there playing. He made a couple tackles. He was able, he wasn't able to make the play, but I'm just glad to see him out
there. But
he was able to play. But you ran a fake fucking punt, bro.
Mike, if they don't keep that when you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are.
Look, bro. Look, check this
ass play out of here.
Look here, man. Look. If we could say that DeMar Hamlin ain't talented or whatever it is like that, I ain't say that neither. I don't know his potential because we haven't seen him play fully yet, and he's young. But he almost died on the football field last year, and then the next year he out here running fake punts and he out there making tackles.
And he didn't make the play.
He didn't make the play, but that's okay.
And you know what, DeMar
shouldn't have been put in that position to make that play because they played.
That's what I'm saying.
It never been called in the first place.
Look. Sean McDermott would not have a job today if it was me being the head coach, me being the GM.
Like I said, you're not putting Josh Allen in position to win.
But you,
because you're doing nothing
like
that.
But you know why? But Mike, you know why? That's what I'm saying. The very people who you talking about on TV having that conversation is to blame about all this Josh Allen shit. Because it's an entertaining topic for everybody to talk about as far as Josh Allen. It's an entertaining topic, so you're going to continue talking about that topic till you blew in the face. That's the reason why we're not looking at the totality of everything. Because people want to have an engaging conversation that keeps us engaged. Because Josh Allen, they've made into a lightning rod. Not us. They've made that. They could easily be talking about Sean McDermott and how he coached them out of that damn game. We could easily be talking about Sean McDermott and that dumbass fake punt.
You gotta put your field goal kicker in position to make the easiest kick possible, ladies and gentlemen.
But it's more entertaining to talk about Josh Allen than it is to talk about Sean McDermott. With that being said, what I also will not allow is these participation trophies. Dan Marino is probably the most talented quarterback to ever play the game outside of now Patrick Mahomes. When Dan Marino went to the Super Bowl in his second year, everybody assumed that we was going to see Dan Marino in a couple of Super Bowls and win a couple of rings. Didn't happen. And guess what? A quarterback who we probably should be talking about still is one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL who had all of the records when he retired. We don't talk about in that way because he didn't win rings like Elway or like Montana. And then quarterbacks like Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes passed them up. We should still be talking about Dan Marino as a top five quarterback, but we don't. The reason why we don't, because he didn't win a ring. Peyton Manning, we should probably be talking about a bit more higher than we do. But Peyton Manning won two rings, one because of his defense.
Mm-hmm. Can't argue with you there.
So this is the life they chose, fam. Let's stop with these participation trophies. Josh Allen is a dope quarterback, but the one thing he has not done is he will tell you that, man, I got to make that one play. I got to have that one shining moment. There's a reason why we hear one shining moment after every NCAA tournament. Listen to the words. That's what Josh Allen ain't did just yet. And it's off.
Hey, man, some dude pod, rate, like, subscribe. Some dude pod on Twitter, on IG at @MikeB_CHR, @JRBang, Facebook group, hashtag some dude pod. Get involved in the conversation, invite people into the group, Facebook page, some dude, cop that merch, episode 191. We are on a marathon to episode 200, man. Stay tuned. We got big things coming up. Hey man, That's what it is, man. I'm Mike B. That's J.R. Bang. This is Some Dude Pod. We gone.
Yo, yo, yo. It's your girl, Nate Kale. And this is Some Dude Podcast. We out. Peace.